إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، in continuation, inshallah ta'ala, from yesterday's lesson, we'll begin as usual or as per with the Majalis of Ramadan, the sittings of Ramadan by Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala. What did we study with regards to this yesterday? Okay, what we've done yesterday, we continued from the previous lesson, which was dealing with different categories of people with respects to Ramadan. The different categories of people with respects to Ramadan. And we mentioned yesterday the first one, like Al-Akh Shams mentioned, and that is an individual who is sick and he has a terminal illness that most likely won't be cured. The ruling of this individual in his fasting is what? Is it obligatory for him to fast?
No, no.
It's not obligatory for him to fast. But what does he have to do?
He has to feed
the poor for every day that he doesn't fast. Yeah. For every day that he doesn't fast. And we mentioned a narration from Anas, regards to Anas ibn Malik, when he was old. Okay. And what did he, how did he feed them? Bread and
meat.
Bread and meat. What other categories did we talk about yesterday? The musafir, the traveler. And what's the ruling? Or did we put this into categories again? With regards to the traveler, what did we mention with regards to that?
The first one is the one who travels to avoid their fasting.
Naam. The first one is the individual who travels with the intent to avoid fasting. And what is upon this individual? It's obligatory for him to fast. It's obligatory for him to fast. And the second category of a traveler is who? Somebody who's fast, who's traveling, but he's traveling because he has to. For example, his work and so forth. And he's not doing it to avoid the obligation of fasting. This individual can choose whether to fast or not to fast. And we mentioned also a category of an individual who is traveling and the fasting is easy for him. It's not difficult on this individual to fast while he's traveling. What is the ruling in regards to him? The individual who is traveling, but he has the ability to fast. It's not going to harm him or any way, some form or fashion. What is the ruling or what is the state of this individual? It's better for him to fast. It's better for this individual to fast. And the next category is an individual who is traveling, but the fasting is what? Detrimental to his health. It's difficult for him. It's difficult for him. Not detrimental to health. That's a bit more extreme. It's difficult for him to fast while he's traveling. it is better for this individual to break his fast and make it up afterwards, after Ramadan and so forth. Tayyib, an individual who is traveling and his fasting is detrimental to his health, what does this individual have to do? He has to break his fast. And we have the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that the people were suffering and punished with regards to the fasting and in extreme heat. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke fast in the when they were traveling in order to show them that they could what? Break fast. But some of them continued fasting. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about these individuals? That these people are sinning in regards to this action. That these people are sinning with regards to this action. So therefore, for the traveling individual, month of Ramadan, where the fasting is detrimental to his health, he should break his fast. He should break his fast, and that is following the Sunnah of Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, the next category. Okay, this is the seventh person. The seventh category, and this is an individual who is sick. Al-marid alladhi yurja wara'u maradihi, an individual who is sick but is hopeful that he'll get better. It's an individual that is sick, he has an illness, but is hopeful that the individual will get better. The Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Muthaymin, is alim rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatul wasi'a. He says that the individual who is of this state, on this category, he has three different states within this state. The first of them is that la yashqa alayhi sawm, is an individual that it's not difficult for him to fast and it doesn't harm him. The first category of an individual who is sick and his illness, we hope that it will be cured, it is possible that it will be cured. This is in opposition to the other category we mentioned before of the individual who is sick and it won't, and it's more than likely it won't be cured, like cancer, for example. But this one here, we hope that it will be cured. And he has three different states within this category. And the first of those is that fasting for this individual, this is the first category. Fasting for this individual is not difficult for him. It's not difficult for him and it doesn't harm him, even though he has this illness. The Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this individual should break fast. He has to fast. The individual whose illness is, you can hope it, inshallah, be cured, but it doesn't affect him, it doesn't harm him, it doesn't increase in his illness, this individual should fast. It's obligatory for him to fast. From the statement, as we mentioned later on, inshallah ta'ala. Because the Sheikh said that this individual, there is no excuse for him, because his sickness does not affect his ability to fast. This individual, there is no excuse for him because his sickness does not affect his ability to fast. The second state within this category is an individual whose fasting is hard for him and is difficult. It's harm for him and it's difficult. It's hard for him and it's difficult. But it doesn't harm him. This individual's fasting is difficult for him, but it doesn't harm him. The Sheikh says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this individual should break his fast. The Sheikh said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this individual should break his fast. From the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So the person who is sick or is traveling, then let him make up his fast in other days. Now this here is a rukhsa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a leeway that Allah has given for the sick individual. Okay? And this individual is a sick person who it's difficult for. But it doesn't harm him, but it doesn't harm him. And the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala said that this individual, if he was to fast in a state where he's sick, his sickness has been affected or is difficult for him, it is disliked, it is makruh. And in makruh, in usul al-fiqh, مكروه is full of fiqh, is ما نهي عنه على غير وجه الإلزام. The definition of it is that which is prohibited but is not compulsory to leave it alone. Is makruh. And that is the result of this, is that an individual who falls into something that is disliked or makruh, okay, he will get the reward for leaving it, but he will not get punished for doing it. He'll get the reward for leaving it, but he won't get punished for doing it. It's disliked. Mashi. So the Sheikh says that this individual, if he fasts, he's doing something that's disliked. It's not haram, but he's doing something that is what? Disliked. And if he left it, he would get reward for taking the rukhsa of the Allah, the leeway that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his mercy has given him. The next state within this category is an individual who his fasting will harm him. This individual is difficult for him and it will harm him. And this is in opposition to the first one. The first one is what? It's not difficult and it won't harm him. The third one is? It's difficult and it will harm him. This individual is obligatory for him to break his fast. This individual is obligatory for him to break his fast from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not kill yourselves because Allah is with you merciful. Yani Allah is merciful to you. So do not kill yourselves. And if the individual who fasting in his illness is going to be harmed and is going to affect him in a negative way in his fast, he is doing other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in not killing yourself and not harming yourself. So there the Sheikh says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's obligatory for this individual to break his fast. So in summary, the individual who is sick, but his sickness, there's hope that he will be cured, inshallah ta'ala. This situation is three states. The first state is what? It's not difficult for him to fast and it's not going to harm him. What is the ruling on this individual's fast? It's what? It's wajib. It's obligatory to fast. And the definition of obligatory is ma umira bihi al-shari' ala wajh al-ilzam. That which the shari', who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has commanded, and it's a must that it must be done. And the result from this definition is that the individual who does this action, he gets the reward, and the individual who leaves this action, he gets a sin. So it's obligatory for this individual to what? To fast. The second, the one who finds it difficult, but it's not what? Harm for him. What should he do? He should break his fast. He should break his fast. Why? Allah gave him the rukhsa, which means what? The leeway. Allah has given him the leeway to break his fast in that situation. Woman kana, aw ala suffering. Whoever is sick or is in traveling, then he makes up other days. This is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, as is mentioned in the hadith of Imam Ahmed and Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that his rukhs has been accepted. He likes that his leeways have been accepted. So the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala from this says that it's disliked for this individual to what? Fast. And what's the definition of something that's disliked? Makruh. What's the definition? If you leave it, you get the reward. But if you do it, no sin. Jade. Okay. The eighth category, and last one we're going to mention today, inshallah, so we can go into Ha'iyah. Spend more time on Ha'iyah today, inshallah. The last category, which is the eighth, is the woman that's menstruating. The menstruating woman. She's in menstruation, al-ha'id. The Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the ruling upon the fasting for this, the woman who's of this state, is that it's haram for her to fast. And that's from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, regards to the the naqs, when the Prophet was asked, so what's the naqsan or aql of the woman? Why is it the woman's intellect is deficient? And what is the reason for her religion being deficient? The Prophet ﷺ said, in answering these two questions, أَلَيْسَ شَاهِدَةَ الْمَرْأَ مِثْلَ نِصْفْ شَهَادَةِ الرَّجُلِ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, is it not that the witness of one woman amounts to half of the witness of a man? A, that you need two female witnesses in order to complete one male witness. And the Prophet ﷺ, and the person who asked the Prophet ﷺ said, that's true. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this reason is the intellect of the woman is deficient. And that's general. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, is it not that when the woman, hadat, when she's in a state of menstruation, she doesn't pray and she doesn't fast? And then the individual asking, who were women who was asking from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahabiyat, were asking the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, yes, rather it's true that the woman doesn't fast or pray when she's menstruating. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is why she is deficient in her religion. This is why she is deficient in her religion. This is generally, but it doesn't mean that every single woman is deficient to respect to every single man. This is what? General. So from this hadith, we find the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned indirectly that the woman does not fast when she is in the state of menstruation. That the woman does not fast when she's in the state of menstruation. Inshallah ta'ala, we leave it at that in regards to Majalis of Ramadan. We've dealt with three different categories, and inshallah we'll complete the other two bi'ithnillah next week. But now inshallah ta'ala we'll proceed with Al-Ha'iyya bi'ithnillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Oh, Father. A flu? No. It's a sickness where the fasting is going to be. If you fast, it would hurt you and harm you. You know, because Allah does not legislate that. But if it's a sickness where it's like a sniffling of, you know, runny nose, you got a cough or something, that's not going to harm you, inshallah, if you fast. And some situations, the scholars have like Sheikh Ubaid or Hafidhullah Ta'ala, when asked similar questions as these, for the pregnant woman, for example, is that they should go to a Muslim doctor who is well aware of his field, and he's well aware of the Islamic ruling and so forth, that then he can actually ascertain whether the fasting will harm that pregnant woman. So likewise, an individual who is sick and he's not sure whether that sickness is going to be affected, he should go back to the doctor, who would actually say if by him abstaining from food and drink and so forth is going to affect him, and you take it from there, inshallah.